Today on Real Life Radio.
You and I live in a time when there are more global cults than any other time in recorded human history. And Jesus said, right before I come back, there'll be many false prophets and false messiahs. We're living right in it. It's an amazing time.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Hey, here's a gift idea for the men in your life on Father's Day. Pastor Jack's book of the month is called Disciplines of a Godly Man. It's by R. Kent Hughes, mixing biblical teachings with practical application. Hughes gives men a prescription for righteous living. Carefully organized, the Disciplines of a Godly Man goes through each phase of a man's life on issues like pride, lust, responsibility, and marriage. Christians need a wake-up call right now to spiritual living, and it's men who must take the lead.
We've got to get back to disciplines. That's what's going to keep us stable for what's next. There's going to be something next. And we want to make sure that our feet are grounded, that we're standing on a good foundation, and that we've got some good disciplines in place to take on the next storm.
Disciplines of a Godly Man, it's available right there at our website, jackhibbs.com, for a gift of any amount. That's jackhibbs.com. Order your copy today. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series in the book of Revelation with a message called Heavenly Visions Make for Earthly Announcements, Part 4. Now, here in chapter 14 of Revelation, we see that these visions from God are not given to us in a chronological order. Still, this really is an insightful chapter on judgment and the events that will follow the Great Tribulation period. Now, we see in this chapter God bringing judgment to an unbelieving world, but we can't view God's judgment from a human level. God is holy, and both His love and His judgments are perfect. God doesn't delight in bringing judgment, but He has to be true to His word, and throughout Scripture, God warns us of what will happen when we reject Him. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that none of us are exempt from the promises of God, even when that promise is judgment. Now this may be hard for us to accept, but God holds all of us accountable to know what the Bible says about what it means to be saved from our sin. Now in his message called Heavenly Visions Make for Earthly Announcements, Part 4, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
As we looked at these pages, it is amazing that written down for us is not only a glimpse into the future, but a detailed review for us, as it were, of things that You have ordained for this world. So, Father, we pray now that we would incline our hearts to be students of the Word, for we ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Grab your Bibles, if you would, and turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 14. And we started off last time, if you remember, covering just introductory part to verses 8 to 13. As book of Revelation 14 has these very, very interesting vignettes or snippets of events that make up the entire seven-year tribulation period. We touched on last time, we spoke about it, those four things as to why God will bring judgment upon an unbelieving world. And for many people who know God, have read the Bible, maybe not its entirety, they're often surprised and shocked when they find out that God also is a God of judgment. We love the pictures and the stories of God's love and of God's care and of God's kindness, and that is true. But because God is God, and because God is holy, because God is just, He is also a God of judgment. Now, what we often err is we view judgment on a human plane, judgment from a human perspective. God, who is holy, His judgment is perfect. His justice is righteous. And we have to receive that by faith, that God is holy. And so when He executes both His love and His judgment, it is absolute perfection. Church, listen. There is no injustice in God's judgment. There is no error in His wrath. It is perfect. We just don't want to talk about it. We have a hard time reconciling a God of love and a God of judgment. But the truth is, God is love and he does exercise judgment. God also says that he is in fact love, but that he does not delight in judgment. So keeping that in mind, we looked at Revelation 14, and those four things that we pointed out last time is, why will God bring judgment? It's these four things that you jotted down last time. Because mankind rejects God's rule. That was number one. Number two, because mankind rejects God's will. Three, mankind rejects God's son. More on that in a moment. Number four, because mankind rejects God's word. When you or I as an individual, or we as a city, or we as a county, or we as a state or as a nation, or collectively, we as a world reject God's word, reject God's son, reject his will and his rule in our lives, then the Bible says there's nothing left but judgment, that God has to do this. And maybe this morning you're saying, I don't want to hear that. That's scary to me. I understand that it's scary. But it is a fact, and throughout history, judgment from God comes. It visits nations. It visits people. There are some homes that are under the judgment of God. There's some areas that are under the judgment of God, and God doesn't delight in that. But the fact of the matter is, the book of Revelation exposes us to a time where we'll be a Christ-rejecting world. Now, listen. In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus Christ, as you know, and boy, those of us who were together in Israel not too long ago and we went down this path, we walked the actual road that still remains where this portion of Scripture took place. And Matthew 23, 37, Jesus was riding there on the back of the little donkey on Palm Sunday. And as they were making their way, you remember everyone was saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And they were extolling Jesus on that Palm Sunday that we celebrate today even. In Matthew 23, 37, while everybody was cheering, Jesus knew the heart of the nation. And Jesus said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together. By the way, God wants to do that to us right now. He wants to gather our families together under him. He wants to gather us as individuals under him. He loves us. But listen, how often I wanted to gather your children together, just like a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. That is, the nation of Israel rejected Jesus Christ at his coming on that prophetic day of Palm Sunday. That's a very important thing. Ladies and gentlemen, church, listen, you cannot live your life. We cannot exist as a nation if we reject God. America will not be exempt from the promises of God, even if those promises are judgment. Israel, God's chosen people, refused the lordship of Jesus Christ, and Jesus himself prophesied as he continued in that chapter. He said, behold, now, today, your house, that is the place of worship, there in the Temple Mount of Jerusalem, your house will be left to you desolate. And he went on to say that they would be driven out to all the nations of the world because they failed to recognize God's rule in their lives that came through the person of Jesus Christ. And last week, I don't need to give you all the scripture again, but we will put it on the screen. Last week, we gave the exactness of that Palm Sunday day. Remember, we went through the dates in Daniel chapter 9, and some of you came up afterward and said, can you put that on the screen? And so we're going to put that on the screen, and you can see the math that is recorded there in Daniel chapter 9, how Jesus on Palm Sunday held them accountable to know the day. He went on to say in Luke's gospel, if you had only known this, thy day, the peace that was before you, but you did not. This is, and you might want to jot it down, Daniel 9 verses 24 to 27. If you look at those dates that Jesus was holding Israel accountable to know the specifics of his coming, Daniel 9, 24 to 27. When you put all of that math together, it was the 49 years plus the 434 years equals 483 years from what? Stop right there. From the commandment to go forth and restore and rebuild Jerusalem. That was March 14th, 445 BC. looking up ahead. 483 years. What happened on the 483rd year from March 14th, 445 BC? Well, it was April 6th, 32 AD. That happened to have been a Sunday, friends. That happened to have been what happened on Matthew chapter 23, beginning at verse 37. It had to do with April 6th, 32 AD. It happened to be the 483 years converted in a biblical calendar from March 14th, 445 BC. The Jewish nation knew this. The Jewish scholars knew this. Came out to 173,880, what's the word? Days. That's why Jesus, when he came and looked over there at the Temple Mount, Jesus began to weep, says the Bible. And he said, Israel, if you had only recognized this, your day. But now, because you haven't, it is taken away from you and you're left desolate. In Daniel chapter 9, Jesus Christ expected the Jewish nation to know the Bible and to recognize the day of his coming. That is a very serious scripture, a very telling scripture. Two ways. Number one, God gives us the specifics. And number two, he holds mankind accountable to know the Bible. And so as we look to the book of Revelation, we must know the Bible. And that's a very, very important life-saving thing for us today. As we now look to our study, we touched on this last time. We come to the events that make up the tribulation period, verses 8 to 13. So the scripture says here, and another angel followed, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations to drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Speaking about spiritual indulgence in a pagan way. Verse 9, then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out in full strength into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of his holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Verse 11, and the smoke of their torment ascends upward forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and faith of Jesus. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Now, we touched on this, a lot of this. If you weren't here last week, get the CD and read it or listen to it and study it and follow along. We covered these things, though. We first of all made introduction to the fact that regarding Babylon, is fallen. We need not spend time in it right now because in chapters 17 and 18, we will follow that in great detail as to who or what is the Babylon. But the announcement is made as we look at this portion of the book of Revelation 14 that looks ahead to events that we've not yet studied, we shall, that Babylon is fallen. Two statements, making that declaration of the gravity of it, and an interesting statement that it is fallen because it is judged by God, because whatever Babylon is, and we'll know in the next couple of months, when we get to chapter 17 and 18, when we study that, we will find out that it will be a false church. It will operate under the guise of a strange manifestation of what is called Christianity, but it will involve or include, listen, it will include all the world's religions and faiths and cults. It will be a strange hybrid of what is called Christianity, what is called a church, but in fact, it will be Babylonianism. And again, we'll follow that in detail. You will be shocked to find out some of our church leaders today in America who hold to a unification of all the world's faiths. And you know them. I don't want to give you names right now. However, you are reading a book right now, as it is the book of the month. A Woman Rides the Beast by Dave Hunt. Read the book. Dave Hunt exposes these famous Christian leaders in America and in the world, and they have an agenda to unite the Christian church with aberrant beliefs and faiths. An ecumenical union. And it is a very serious thing. It plays right into the end times events. It's amazing to see this. The Bible says that there's going to come a time when that group comes together, a global faith. It sounds like this, by the way. Though you may be a Christian, you may be a Hindu, a Muslim, a Buddhist, Jewish, a Wicca, a Satanist, or whatever, we will all come together and listen. This is the precursor, and you've already heard it. After all, let's lay down our differences that divide us, because when it's all said and done, we all worship the same God. When you hear that, the hair on your neck should stand up. There are many gods. There are many roads to eternity. Ask the world. They'll tell you. The truth is, there's only one living God, and there's only one way to heaven. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And what? No man comes to the Father but through me. And the moment you say that publicly, hey, for that matter, according to your response to me in emails of late, although I don't think you're still here after your email. It's pretty clear you were leaving. I am a very narrow-minded man. I'm archaic. I'm living in the old age. To have the audacity to say that Jesus is the only way to heaven. My friend, I tell you what, you produce somebody else that has the Bible written about them from Genesis to Revelation. You produce somebody else who came and raised the dead and preached the gospel and called sin, sin, and righteousness right, and begged people to come to him that they might experience eternal life. To say that God loves you, that he sent his only begotten son to die for our sins. You produce somebody like that who also died on the cross, never defended himself, but said, on our behalf, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. You produce somebody like that, that the Bible has written about them in advance before he was ever born into the world in Bethlehem, which that was predicted as well. Produce somebody like that. Produce somebody like that who then on the third day, as prophesied in Scripture, would be resurrected from the dead and then ascended back up into heaven. Produce somebody like that. It's Jesus Christ. And it's him, he alone. He says, if a man dies believing in me, yet shall he live. This is our great Savior. And the world will reject him. They are rejecting him now. They rejected him then. They're going to reject him in the future. But it's a dangerous time when we live in a culture that says, let's just lay down our differences. Do you know those differences define eternity? There are many Jesuses. I mentioned that last week. Paul the Apostle said in the book of Corinthians, there are many false Christs. And he said, there are other gospels. He said, I thought there was only one gospel. There is only one gospel, but there are imposters. And there are fake or false gospels that are leading people astray. Congratulations. You and I live in a time when they're officially now, there are more global cults than any other time in recorded human history. And Jesus said, right before I come back, there will be many false prophets and false messiahs. We're living right in it. It's an amazing time. In that light, we talked about that everyone has the choice of making the wrong decision. And we talked about choices. We don't need to go on that again. But these people listed in Revelation 14, 8 down to 11, they chose to worship this false Messiah that will come out of Europe. He will come out of the European Union. We know the book of Daniel. We know the book of Ezekiel. He will engineer a tremendous peace treaty with Israel and its surrounding neighbors. That's interesting. And he will bring about this peace, and from him will come this false prophet that will promote a global world-encompassing religion. And we studied in chapter 13 that he will impose a numerical, financial, security decree. How about that in the day and age in which you and I live in? A security requirement that everybody receive in them on their right hand or their forehead an identification mark. And in the system, if you do not have that numerical system in your right hand, by the way, not left hand, right hand, it says in the Bible, right hand. If you don't have it in your right hand, then you will be beheaded for your rejection, says the Bible, beheading. Now, who in the world would ever think about beheading people? What a strange thought that is. And yet, that's exactly what the Bible said will be the treatment of those who reject this false Messiah to follow the true Jesus during the tribulation period. Their punishment will be beheading, says the Bible. Well, as we look to this, the choice about the wrong decision. It says in verses 9 and 10 that after this angel makes this sounding, it says, look there, please circle it. If anyone, this is a cry of mercy. God doesn't want anybody to perish. The announcement by the angel is if anyone. It doesn't mean people have to, but it says those who do. If anyone worships the beast, that is this Antichrist, we call him, and the false prophet, and the image that is made to his honor. Look what it says in verse 10. If they do that, they will drink the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out in full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Ladies and gentlemen, pick up last week's teaching. God, in his awesome wisdom, and only he can understand this. We cannot. That even though he's a God of love, the rejection of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior literally warrants, it is right, it is just, it is fair that if a person rejects Jesus' horrible, bloody, brutal sacrifice on the cross for mankind's salvation, what remains for them? Torment forever. And you say, Jack, how can that be? I don't know, but it's true. Torment forever. How can that be? I can only conclude this, that the price that Jesus paid on the cross was so precious that those who reject what he did in dying for the sins of the world and suffering as he did, it is just, it is right, it is holy and pure that those who reject that work of Jesus on the cross suffer torment forever.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in his message called Heavenly Visions Make for Earthly Announcements, Part 4. Thanks for joining us today. Heavenly Visions Make for Earthly Announcements, Part 4, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation. It's a series on the final book of the Bible and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, we have Pastor Jack today in the studio talking about June's book of the month, Disciplines of a Godly Man. So, Pastor Jack, we've got Father's Day coming up.
We've got Father's Day, and this is an interesting pitch, right? Disciplines of a Godly Man by R. Kent Hughes.
Yeah.
This is pretty cool because it's not limited to just guys. Mm. The gals ought to get it. The women of the church, the women listening, they should get it to find out how they can identify a godly man. But for all of us men, and if we have young men in our lives, I have grandsons in my life, This is a great book to begin to take a walk through what the scripture defines as what is a godly man. And the disciplines of prayer, disciplines of integrity, disciplines of keeping your word, all of these things are in here. And it just, in my opinion, he covers all the aspects that what it means to be a man in these days, discipline of being generous, but disciplines of ministry. Giving.
Good stuff.
I mean, on and on it goes. And one of my favorites is something that I lean on often, and that's the discipline of perseverance.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Who doesn't feel like giving up from time to time?
Yeah, perseverance.
Well, I thank God that Kent Hughes addresses this in Disciplines of a Godly Man.
Disciplines of a Godly Man, it's available right there at our website, jackhibbs.com, for a gift of any amount. That's jackhibbs.com. Order your copy today. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.